say, and say I had caught a 50,000 pounds of shrimp. When this bonus is paid, say they paid 3 cents a pound on shrimp and 10 cents a pound extra on lobsters, then I would be paid 10 cents a pound for 20,000 pounds of lobsters, 3 cents a pound for 50,000 pounds of shrimp, and so on to every man. Whatever he'd caught, he would get a bonus. Now, the best man, the man that catches the most lobsters or the most shrimp and brings the most money into the co-op will be the man that will get the biggest bonus out of it. So the harder you work, the more you'll get. That's the way it's set up.
Now, you said you were one of four on the main coast. Why aren't there any more?
Well, they just, the first co-op that was formed was in Stonington. And it was formed about 15 years ago. I think the main reason that it couldn't get a co-op going was in those days, money problem was one of the things. You wasn't catching that many lobsters. Most of the guys my age or a little bit older had just been in the business, you know, a short period of time, and they was all had families, buying houses, buying boats, buying everything. And people was, like anything, it was timid, you know. If it didn't prove out, then you'd lost a hell of a lot of money. I mean, because we mortgaged everything we had to do this. Now, three of these co-ops were formed within the last 2 years. Jonesport Co-op, Career Co-op, and Winter Harbor Co-op were formed within the last 2 years. Now, I got it started down here. I went to see the bank, and I signed for $15,000 more than the rest of them did. I'm the president of it. And I think it's one of the best things that we ever done. There's no question in my mind, but we couldn't have done anything any better.
What do the older fishermen think about it?
They're all joining. They're all in it. Yeah. We had two men that didn't join it. Out of 25 fishermen, we had two that didn't join it. One of them, the reason for him was he was as tight with his money that he wouldn't do it. And the other guy, he said that he didn't catch that many lobsters. He's a small fisherman. He's an old man, and he didn't want to get involved in it. But the guy that didn't join it sells us all his lobsters. We get 15 more cents a pound than he does fishing right alongside of him. But we still, if he needs something, we get it for him at a discount. I mean, he's worth that much to us. He sells us all our lobsters. Every lobster he catches, he sells to us, and we make 15 cents a pound on every lobster he brings in. So, it's pretty
good. So you're acting as his dealer now.
Well, his dealer, right. Yep. Hmm. Yep.
Yeah, why don't you tell him natural things like there isn't any lobsters around the coast that don't swear any of his clothes are except his hip boots and his clothes he puts on his back. And when he goes out for an eating, he wouldn't even know where to begin to find his good clothes.
Oh, well, don't have no good clothes. Don't want them. He ain't going nowhere anyway. Now, there's very few men that can't find a hip boot, another oil clothes. Anything else he don't need. No, it's a funny outfit. It's a close-knit bunch. They'll fight amongst themselves, but if you let an outsider come in and get around one of them, they'll all be on him. Quick in a wink. And they wouldn't hesitate a minute to help the next one. They'd fight with him today, but you let something happen to him tonight. They'll take care of him just like a mother hen would a chick. We had a fellow up here that got in a bad car accident. He had six kids, didn't he, Donna?
Seven
kids he had. They range in age from 2 years to 17 years. And he got in this car accident, and he was one of the boys, but he drank a little bit more than the rest of them did, and he got in a bad mess. And it was in the fall of the year when Avid made 3/4 of his money. They took his trap and they set him out, They come to me and they told me to make out a list for each man. How many traps that I had had, and I was to split them up so that each man had the same number of traps to fish, where those traps was, and so they could find them. And it figured out that they each had 15 pair of traps apiece, and this meant about an hour a day for each man. They hauled his traps every day. They brought the lobsters in to the core, and they were sold. It didn't cost him anything for expenses. It didn't cost him anything for bait. They furnished that. We fed his family, paid for his car, and paid for his boat while he was in the hospital. And it never cost him a nickel. And he ain't forgot it.
No, he didn't.
Because he would be the first man, if anything happened to anybody, he'd be the first man there to help. And he has stopped drinking.
You're welcome.
He doesn't drink a drop. He's got a brand new boat, got a brand new car, got a brand new pickup truck he bought the day before yesterday. And everything he owns is paid for, so it was worth it. And he was in bad shape. He was, I would say, an alcoholic when it happened. And he was a young man, about 40 years old. So you see, that's one case right there where helping someone really helped. It was worth every bit of it. But we fed him and clothed his family, and we turned over as low as $200 a week and as high as $1,000 a week in that house all the time he was in hospital. And it didn't cost any of us nothing, really. Cost us an hour a day. 20 of us. And it's always been that way around here. I mean, they'll do that if something happens. My first wife was killed in a car 5 years ago. And they collected, I don't know how much money they brought up to me that they collected down there, $500 or $600. And they tended my traps, they hauled them. Kept watching my boat. Now if something happened down that harbor tonight, if a boat went adrift, every man in this town would be down there within 15 minutes. There'll be somebody all night long this wind blowing. There'll be somebody every hour or so go to that shore. A different man, but somebody off and on all night long will be down that shore. They'll watch. They don't only go to look at theirs, they'll watch every boat in the harbor. When they leave that shore, they'll know that every boat's all right, and they'll know if there's one missing. But you have to look out for each other, because I mean, you don't never know the next minute when you might need it. Because something can happen quick. You take out there and you let a boat get a fire, it ain't like getting a house fire. You can get out of a house, but you can't get out of a boat in the middle of the ocean. You're in a bad mess. Or if you, some engine stopped and you're too close to shore like I was, you're in a mess. So, you have to watch out for each other. You got to.
Well, if you want, we could take a break, or...
Well, I'd have a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
You had a pot of coffee made, didn't you? You dumped it out.
And then maybe...
You got any instant? Maybe get your oil clothes on, pair of hip boots.
Oh, yeah. Well... Somebody came up to you and said, I'll give you any boat you want. And you decided that you wanted a damn good boat for lobstering. What would it be like?
Oh God, you've asked a hard question. Well, at this point, I think I would have it out of wood. Cedar with oak frame and oak sharp riser and stuff. I think I'd have the deck and the trunk house and the hauling house all fiberglass plywood. I don't have anything against fiberglass boats. I have fished in one for a short period of time with my brother-in-law, haul of a trawl and stuff, and no question in my mind, but the boat is able, probably as able a boat as I've ever been in. I don't like it for the simple reason that it's not a pretty boat. It doesn't have the sheer that a boat should have. It is always the same weight, where you take a wooden boat, when she's new or when she's dried out, she's like a cock stopper. And over a period of 3 months, she will soak enough water up where she's good and heavy and a good work boat. I probably would have one.
End of tape 747.2. The April 28th, 1973 interview with Dale Torrey continues on tape 747.3.